You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Good morning, everyone. So before I even say and release what God has, I invite everyone to stand with me right now. We just prayed for healing. I invite you to stand with me. Good morning, Bridge family in-house and on the web who is joining us. And those who are joining us virtually, I invite you to stand right now. And we are going to take like 2 to 3 minutes to give God praise. We're going to do a sacrifice of praise right now. It's easy to praise God when he has done something for you. When the refrigerator is full, the bank account looks okay, the children are behaving the way you expect them to behave, everything is happening okay. But it takes a sacrifice to give God praise when you get that doctor's report that doesn't look so good, when you're in the midst of a challenge, a trial, and you have to praise God anyway. When you're experiencing loss, whatever it is, kids are not acting the way they're supposed to, and you're concerned with them. And see, we're not praising God for the situation, but we're praising him in spite of it. We're praising him in it. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. And so right now, I invite you to open up your mouth and begin to think about that thing that you're believing God for. You just prayed for healing. It has not yet manifested. Begin to praise him before you see it. So Father, hallelujah to your name. God, we just praise you right now because you are worthy of praise. There is none like you. We just say thank you, Father. We praise you today. Your word says it's good to praise the Lord. And so we exalt you today. We honor and reverence you today. We praise you for being Elohim today. We praise you for being Adonai today. We praise you for being El Shaddai today. We praise you for being Jehovah Shalom today, the God of peace in the midst of our storm. We are praising you today for being Jehovah Rapha, for the God who is able to heal, the God who has the last word, the God whose word reigns above what the doctors would say. We praise you today. We refuse to allow the rocks to cry out in our place, God, to praise you, because you said if we don't praise you, the very rocks will cry out. And so we praise you today. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 And so, Father, I never take it lightly when I have to stand before your people, because I recognize the awesome weight of responsibility and accountability for what is said. And so God, today, I just submit to you. I come under you right now. I stand in you. I stand for you, God. And I stand with you and with your word today. And Lord, we just thank you for all the prayers that has gone forward. We thank you for shifting the atmosphere right now. We thank you for parting the heavens right now. And God, even though I have prepared the message that I believe that you wish to release, should you determine to switch this message, should you determine to break through right now and shift things for the sake of one person, then I submit to you, to what you want to do. I say have your way, because you are God Almighty, and there's none higher, there's none mightier than you. You said, I am God, I work, and who can reverse it? We recognize you today. I recognize you. I recognize your sovereignty, your rulership, and your dominion authority in the earth and in my life. And so, God, I just say right now, let me stand. But God, as I speak, I'm praying that your children don't see me, but they see and they hear you, God, and that you will meet the need today, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. So I just want you all to know that when, you know, if you notice that every time I stand before you, I always invite you to stand and to take a couple of minutes to praise God. And usually it's for something that you're believing for that has not happened yet, because it's an act of faith. But when I ask you to do that, it is because I have the testimony of what I'm saying concerning praise. You have no idea, unless you do it often, what is happening in the spirit realm when you praise God. The demolition work that is happening when you're praising him in the midst of a situation. I have had this experience the past few months. It started really from when we were doing 12 to 24, all the way through March. Just things, assaults. I mean, the enemy tried to bring untimely death to me. That's how crazy things were the last few months. And I heard the Lord say, 21 days of praise. And I went into 21 days of praise. Every day I took a psalm or a verse of scripture that focused on praise. And the minute I started to read that word, it started, the praise just erupted in me. And at the end of that 21 days, there was such a revelation. God was showing me what was happening even with me, the shift in everything, but what he was also doing. And so don't minimize the opportunity to praise God. I am in the car and I'm praising him when I get an opportunity. Don't minimize that opportunity, because you don't know what is happening when you're praising him. You don't know. Paul and Silas, they praise God. And what happened? The thing that was designed to keep them trapped and bound was disrupted and it was demolished. Okay. I just thank God for this house and for the leadership, for our Apostle Paul and his beautiful wife, Debbie. Yes. Thank God for Jeremy and just his humility and just his faithfulness. I thank God for Pastor Greta and for our prophet, Verna, who I've been aligned and attached with for several years now. But I thank God also for this family. I don't take it for granted, and I hope that you all don't take for granted the family that we have in this house. Don't minimize that. For the past few weeks, we've been blessed to receive a revelatory and anointed word, a teaching really, on what community and belonging are, and as they relate to what it means to be a part of the family of God. And we were reminded about our position in Christ, about our identity, about the new nature, about the place of belonging and the access that we have to his presence. We were reminded that we have access to walk in our identity and the position of and that the position of belonging, this matter of belonging, it is by faith and something that we have to embrace, and that we also have to sow into that. We were reminded that we've been saved for a purpose and brought into royalty to assume a God-given responsibility. And understanding that means that we don't think of ourselves lower. We don't think of ourselves less than what God says we are. And then we heard that we're designed for proximity and intimacy. And then as we are preparing to end this month of June, which is the halfway point of the year, God releases a prophetic word through our prophet Verna that July is the midpoint, which is tomorrow. Amen. The midpoint of the decade, which, by the way, is a decade of war. Yes. We heard that. And so the warfare can ebb and flow. It can be intense at times, but we were forewarned about that. And so we're entering 2025, halfway through that decade of war, and we're still standing. We're still standing. So that is reason to praise God also. And so some of the things that she brought to us, that God brought to us through her, was that he has processed the decade up to this point, that it will be different, that there will be turbulent waters ahead, but he is controlling the turbulence. So in essence, in the midst of the storm, Jesus is in the boat.
Yes.
He lets us know that he controls and he walks with us through the paths that we're going through. Whether it is a time of turbulence or distress, wherever we're at, God is with us. And as the word says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? No matter where we are, God is there. And it's just mind-boggling to me that God is in our present, but yet in our future at the same time. It's just like, I mean, my mind sometimes can't even hold and grasp the awesomeness of God. God, he says that he will hold us up. He will direct our path. He will prevent us from tipping over and what we're facing the last half of the year. And of course, Jeremy was singing this morning about us being anchored, about, you know, where we are. We are just rooted, grounded, anchored. God reminded us that he is I am. I am what you need me to be now and what tomorrow will require. I am with you in the low places. So he's with us in the valley and on the mountaintop. He's with us when we are flat out and when we are running strong. He is with us when we are crying and when we are laughing. When we can't see our way before us, he goes before us to make those crooked places straight. And he wants us to know that he has been working in the bridge and processing in the bridge. And regardless of what we see around us, we have to keep before us that God is still on the move. He is always at work. Jesus said, my Father is always working. That he has a plan and he will complete it. He's not derelict in his duties. And so as we're gearing up for the turbulence, he is saying that he is there undergirding us. He is guiding our steps. Going before us, leading and guiding us. He said, I will teach and instruct you in the way you should go. I will guide you and counsel you with my eye upon you. But don't be like the horse or the mule that lack understanding and need bit and bridle to come. So he is there with us, in control of our life, in control of this time, in control of the situations that we see but don't understand. And yet, as the bridge, he is preparing us for a crossing over. A crossing over. Crossing over the turbulence. Crossing over what is there ahead of us, but also there to stop us. He is preparing us to cross over. He's taken us over. We're not walking by ourselves. He's carrying us over. And this reminds me of another prophetic word that Pastor Verna had spoken, and I forgot when it was, when she says that he was not, when we were getting ready to enter, I can't remember which year it was, but she says we're not going in on our own. He is entering in with us. And so he's carrying the bridge over right now. And she encouraged and exhorted us to march across the bridge, knowing that we're victorious in Christ. Yeah. And so even when you get the time, every time that it comes across your mind, you start praising God for that. So and prayerfully, we all have these truths embedded in us. We're all processing the word that we have received. But in line with these truths that have been released to us through our Apostle Paul and through our Prophet Verna, the other thing I want to bring to your attention is the importance of right alignment. Elizabeth and I have been, we pray for this house. We've been doing it since 2019. Talk about alignment. Now, we are a picture of alignment. God ordained alignment for assignment. We have, I mean, this is, that's Elizabeth and I, a picture of what it means, what it looks like. And so, you know, we were having this conversation, and the Lord just was really resting on that. And I kept saying to her, I keep seeing 11-11, 1-11. And she sent me this information and about a word and a teaching about what that represented. And it was so funny because I went to Home Depot to get some plants. That's like one of my favorite places to shop. I love Home Depot. Love plants and everything. And the bill that I got when I got the receipt back, it says 111, so 111.33. That was what was on the bill. And I'm like, well, God, what do you want me? Is this where you're leading me to? And of course, I thought I was, you know, kind of try to prepare for it, but nothing flowed until Saturday night. I want to talk about alignment today, and the foundational text is going to be in Ruth. The book of Ruth will look at that. So the definition of alignment or align, one definition is an arrangement of groups or forces in relation to one another. And an example of this definition we could see in Numbers 2, where when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, from slavery, before they entered the promised land, he had the tribes to be arranged in a specific order. He gave Moses instructions to have each tribe to designate one leader who was the head of their father's house, and to have an encampment to lay out with the tribe set up according to each tribe. And then they were placed together on each of the four sides. So the camp was done, had a four-sided layout, and they were all assigned and aligned and positioned depending on where they were supposed to be. Another example is to give to support to a person, organization, or cause. So an example we see is in Joshua 10. Joshua and the Israelite men, they had to go to the support of Gibeon in battle when the five kings were coming up against Gibeon, because Gibeon, they recognized the importance of alignment. And so they went and secretly, you know, deceive Joshua, because he did not seek the Lord, and they got themselves aligned with Israel. And the kings were not happy with that. The king of Jerusalem was not happy, so he mobilized all these other kings to come against Gibeon. But because there was this alignment right now, there was this agreement and covenant, so to speak, Israel then had to go up and to help them. So they had to give support in battle. Another example is to array on the side of or against a party or a cause. It's like when Gabriel, and of course now with election season, which is the season that I just loathe. So you can understand with election season, people are going to be arrayed. They're going to take sides for one party or another. But an example of this is in David in Samuel, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 to 2, David fled for his life, took refuge in a cave, and his family and everyone who was in distress and in debt or was discontented gathered with him. So they, you know, aligned themselves. You know, they stood with him as opposed to someone else. So alignment is important. We see that God, you know, he started with alignment. Alignment, it must first begin with God, though, as he is the one that has created us. He's brought us out of darkness and positioned us into this kingdom of light. And he's positioned us and brought us out to fulfill a purpose. He chose a people for himself. When he chose the Israelites, he aligned them for assignment. They had to go into the promised land. They were on assignment. And so after giving Moses the instructions to align each tribe in particular, the first assignment that he gave was to the Levites. They were the ones that were chosen to serve as priests. They were set apart to his service to care for and protect everything pertaining to the tabernacle. So they were placed together. They were arranged according to a clan and given separate responsibilities and assignments pertaining to the oversight of the ark of the covenant, which was representing God's presence. And you can see this in Numbers 4. And so like Israel, God strategically aligns us, the body of Christ, with others for the purpose of carrying out the assignments that he gives to us. Like he doesn't just do anything willy-nilly. And that's why I constantly share with people, I said, even when I'm talking to the integrative ministry team, that be aware of what it is that you're doing. Like when we're standing up here, we need to be aware. Like, what are you doing? What is happening? When you're ministering, when you're serving, when you're, you know, coming to the house, have this awareness, because God always has a purpose for everything. Like even Jesus, he chose 12 men. He aligned them, he assigned them, and then he released them to bring a kingdom message with power and demonstration, with miracles, signs, and wonders, through healing the sick, raising the dead, and making disciples. And so you see that we are all have to be in this place of alignment, not just hanging out there willy-nilly, like hanging like this one lone fruit on a vine. We, as people of God, are aligned for assignment. And as our Apostle Paul, he so aptly stated, we were designed to be connected, to collaborate, and to co-labor. You're not, nothing that God calls us to do, we're doing it in silos. We're not doing anything by ourselves. And we even heard the week before as he was ministering that even Lone Ranger had someone. He had Tonto. So there's no, you know, like you can't even get away from it. And you know, what God is calling us to do is to gather together, to think, as this is Pastor Paul now sharing, gather together, think creatively, bring strategic solutions from heaven and implement them on earth. And that's something that is always my heart. It is easy to talk about what the problem is, what is not happening, but it takes more work to bring the solution to the problem. Like when I have to go, like if I'm having to meet with a dean or meet with a team or something, and there's an issue that is at hand, before I raise what the problem is, I am seeking God for a solution. So here is the problem, and so here is the solution. God wants us to be solution bringers, not just talking and pointing about what is not right and what needs to be done. And sometimes we are the solution to the problem. The problem is not changing because we're not stepping in to bring the solution. We're not seeking him to hear what the solution is. And so God wants us to co-labor to bring his purposes to life on earth. And so as I was going through and processing about this alignment, the Lord just took me to the book of Ruth, which I just, there's so much that I'm still processing a lot from the book of Ruth. So in the first chapter of Ruth, it talks about this family who were from the, you know, they're Jewish Israelites, and there was a famine, and so Elimelech and his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they decide to leave Bethlehem and go from there to Moab and live there. And they lived there for 10 years because there was a famine in the land. And when I took the time to look at the names of these individuals. Elimelech, his name means a combination. It means in the Hebrew, strength. So the El means strength and God. And Melech means royal king. So you think about what his name represents. His wife Naomi, her name represents pleasant. Now the two sons, I don't know what possessed them to name these sons these names. Mahlon means weak, sick, and afflicted. So every time that they're calling his name, they're prophesying over him. And Chilion means pining and destruction. I mean, just think of that. And so they went down, and Bethlehem means house of bread. So you leave the house of bread, you go down to Moab, which is, you know, part of Lot's line, birth into incest. And they go and they stay there for 10 years. So look at that alignment right now. Look at how you're aligned in the house of bread and you go down to a place that was birth and incest. And some may argue that, you know, Elimelech, he left Bethlehem because, you know, he wanted to provide and he felt like this was the only option. He's to settle among a people birthed from incest. And then others may say, could argue that he was making the best decision for the benefit of his family, while others will argue that he lacked faith in God's ability to provide for them in the midst of famine, as he did with Isaac, because we know that Isaac was in the midst of a famine, and this is in Genesis 26, and God said to him, don't go down to Egypt. He had to stay, and the word says he sowed in the midst of a famine and reap in the same year. And then we saw with the Israelites in the wilderness, God took care of them the whole time in the wilderness. So they didn't have to leave to go anywhere. But so they go there for 10 years and then everyone dies except Naomi. Of course, you can't blame Naomi for going with her husband because that was the culture of the day. So she goes down to Moab with her husband, but then everything is gone. And so now she decides she is going to return to her roots in Bethlehem. She's going to return to the house of bread, the place of provision. And at this time, she has her two daughter-in-laws with her, and she's encouraging them, don't come with me, stay here. This is where you're from. Perhaps you can get married again. And so the daughter-in-law, Orpah, the Hebrew meaning of her name, it comes from two words, and it means nape or back of the neck. And then Ruth, her name means friendship. And you could even just see the embodiment of their names being played out. Yeah, like, so Orpah, she was like, okay, fine. You said to not to come with you. So she showed Naomi the back of her neck, the back of her head. She was gone. Whereas Ruth, friendship, decides, you know what? I am going to stick with you as a friend. But so we see now the beginning process of this, well, not really the beginning, because they got this alignment happening with these two women marrying the son. So, you know, the families come into this alignment. The alignment could have been broken, but now she comes and she decides, you know what, I'm going with Naomi. She says, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And what stood out to me was when she said, your God will be my God. Because in the midst of that alignment in Moab, she was introduced to a God that she recognized that it was more worthwhile to go after this God than the gods in Moab. And so even with that place of alignment, the assignment of revealing who God is, that was happening where Naomi and her husband, they all were revealing to these ones, this is who God is. And so she is following them. She decides that she's going to return. And how interesting that Naomi's return back to Bethlehem coincided with the harvest season, signifying, you know what? God always have provision when we determine that we're going to first align with him and trust him. When something is out of order, it needs to be realigned. And when we are out of alignment, it can be difficult and painful and detrimental due to the consequences that come with being in that state. No doubt this whole family was out of alignment with God's purposes, plans, everything that God represented. But God is so faithful that there's a realignment. You know, I was thinking of Pastor Paul when he was talking about his arm and the pain that he experienced and what had to take place to get it back into alignment. And that's the thing, the important thing is that when you're out of alignment, you need to be able to know that you are and be willing to go through the pain and the process to get realigned. Because if an arm is out of alignment, you can't use that arm. It's painful. But once it gets back into that place, once we get back into the place where God wants us to be, we will see that it is better for us, and the ease of the pain is better. She was clearly in a painful and difficult position. This is Naomi, in a low place when she returned to her home, and understandably so, considering the enormity of the loss she experienced. She was in a horrible place. But God, I mean, things were so bad that she said, this is coming from Ruth 1, verse 20 to 21. She said, so when she returned, everyone is seeing her, they're thrilled, they're, you know, welcoming her back. She says to them, call me not Naomi, meaning pleasant. Call me Mara, meaning bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? And when I read that, it really grieved my heart. Like, I've just felt a sadness and a pain, because God did not send you to Moab. It was a decision that was made that brought you to a place where there was difficulty and consequences. And there are times when we are in these situations, we're out of alignment, out of God's will, in rebellion, and things are happening, and then we start blaming God. When I am faced with a situation, the first thing I do is say, God, what is it? Is this me? Is this you? Am I out of order? Have I missed the mark? Now, granted, sometimes God would allow certain things to happen because there's something that he wants to teach us. There's a level that he wants to get us to. But in this instance, it wasn't that, you know, that he had dealt with her harshly. It was because of how she was aligned. It's important to recognize, we must recognize the importance of alignment. Ruth, she understood, you know what? I need to be aligned with this woman, because there was something that she saw. And what was so interested in is this alignment between Ruth and Naomi. It was a prophetic picture of what was coming when Christ came on the scene. It was this prophetic picture of Jew and Gentile being aligned, being engrafted. Because the Moabite was aligned and eventually married Boaz and had start the lineage of Christ. Now, is that not God? So even when we drop the ball and miss the mark and find ourselves out of alignment, if we are yielded to God, he will bring us back into alignment, and he will shift things around, as the word says, and we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And this is an example of that, where he shifted things around and brought this alignment. So Ruth recognized, she understood the importance of alignment. And when the circumstances that was presented, she had a good reason for going back, for not staying with Naomi, because the husband was gone. But she recognized and she took advantage of that. But she also understood, here is this woman. She was the embodiment of her name. Because here is this woman going back with no children, no family at all, needing a friend. And so she aligned herself to be the embodiment of her name, to be the friend. There is a measure of strength that comes with alignment. Because sometimes in the lowest point of your life, you need a friend. And the lowest point of Naomi's life, Ruth was that friend for her. And yes, we have Jesus as a friend to all of us. Exceptional spiritual friend. But there is nothing in over and above Jesus, second to Jesus. It is good when you have a physical friend to stand with you in your low places, in those times when you are going through, when you don't even have the words to articulate how you're feeling and what you're thinking. How God will place individuals in your lives who are real friends. That's why alignment is important, because you want God to align you with the right people. You want to be aligned with the right people, the type of friend that when you are going through, you don't have to say anything and they don't have to say anything. They just come and hug you. They just come and say, you matter, I'm praying for you. They just come to say, I am standing with you. You want that friend that you're homesick. You know, you're not feeling well. You can't get out to the grocery store, but yet there's a knock on the door and somebody shows up with a bunch of flowers. Somebody shows up with a fruit basket and a card. That's what alignment looks like. God alignment. And so her alignment, now she was not really, I feel like Ruth wasn't really trying to align herself with Naomi to get something from Naomi, because really she didn't really physically have anything. There was just a spiritual aspect of it that she saw the importance of that. It was not based on what she could get. But the thing with Ruth is that she was willing to give. She was willing to work. And as they got back into Bethlehem, she was the one that was out there working, laboring, gleaning, to bring home what was needed for the sustenance of the house. And so, but her alignment with Naomi brought her into a place of belonging. We please do not miss, grasp all the truths that Pastor Paul has imparted to us about this matter of belonging. Because this place of belonging and this place of assignment and alignment for assignment is very important. She came into this place where she was now belong to this family of God and to become the inheritors of his promise. I mean, just to think that you are now in partnership with God and what he wants to do. You are now in partnership with God to birth the lineage of Christ. My goodness. Just think of that. This alignment was onto something. It wasn't just for the sake of nothing. And so it's important for us to be aligned. And when God aligns us for assignment, there are some things that we must be willing to do. There are times that we need to submit. If we're aligned and assigned to this house, I can't speak for anyone, but I know that I was assigned to this house. I don't know for how long. I know that I was assigned to this house. I know that I'm aligned with the leadership. And so I submit to the authority of the leadership in this house. But I first submit to God's authority, because that's the first thing. When we are in alignment and submission to God, everything else is going to fall in place. Because if everyone is submitted and aligned with God, then when he is speaking, then everyone will be on the same page. Because it will not be about anyone, but it will be about him. So we have to submit. Recognize God first as the superior power and authority in our lives and yield to his will. We need to be in unity. We need to agree. We need to obey God. Obey what is being said. Pay attention. We need to act also. You can't just sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. When you are called, anointed, aligned, and assigned, You have to do something. Like I used to, my kids used to watch this cartoon. I can't remember what it was called. And the guy, the cartoon character, say he would be in a hard place and the little bird or whatever it was. He said, Motley, oh, the dog, he said, Motley, do something. And God wants us to do something. So as we are preparing to cross over, it is important that we be aligned first with God. Get in. If you are out of alignment with God, you need to get back into alignment with Him. And then we are to seek God for clarity and discernment to ensure that we are aligned with the right people. That is so important. Ruth recognized the importance of her alignment with Ruth, and it just opened so many doors for her. Not every alignment is a good fit. And some people, like, they just, you know, they just want to align with people just because of who they are, not necessarily because God has said to do it. Some alignments can be detrimental to the fulfillment of our assigned purpose. And you want to see an example of that? If you go to 1 Kings 20 and then 22, Ahab, first of all, he goes and he marries Jezebel. Total misalignment. And then he makes a treaty. The Syrian army, they were constantly fighting with Syria. And then what does he do? He goes and he makes a treaty with Syria. It's just mind-boggling when I read that. 1 Kings 20, verse 31 to 34. I mean, they were fighting. The Syrian king escaped. Then he appealed to Ahab's soft side. And the next thing you know, Ahab was making a treaty with him. Totally out of God's will. And then what happened? The very king that he made a treaty with, they came again 3 years later, a war. And so then what does he do? The king of Syria gave his commanders instructions to fight only with Ahab. And he was struck down and died. Out of alignment. Aligned with the wrong person. God ordained alignments will produce fruit if each person are doing their part. We need to assess the motive for alignment. The kingdom works by giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. Because the one in whose image we were made is a giver. He gives. He gives us everything that pertains to godliness, to life and godliness, and we, in turn, are supposed to give Him praise and obedience. You don't want to be aligned in the types of relationships where there's no reciprocity, where people are taken from you. Pastor Paul mentioned that the other day. I forgot what term he used for individuals that want to suck you dry. They just want to take from you. They want to be aligned with you just so that they can just grab everything, but then nothing in reciprocity. We don't want the ones who take everything without giving anything. And we don't want to do that also. You don't want to be just a consumer, but you want to be a producer. Know who you are aligned with for the purpose for which you are aligned. Don't just align with people. You know, people, they run to everything. They do this and do that just for the sake of saying, oh, I was there. Oh, I know so-and-so. Just no purpose, nothing to the end. It's important to be aligned with individuals that we can learn from. I have been aligned. I've been aligned with Pastor Verna for several years. And I actually, you know, God shifted me. And immediately, she invited me to come alongside her. And I was her executive assistant for several years when she was overseeing several ministries at the previous place that we were at. And I gave my all. I determined I was going to be one step ahead of her. I was giving her my all, but she was also pouring into me. And the thing she let me know is, you're not going to be here doing this all the time. You, the whole purpose of this alignment is onto something where you will be moving up. You'll be stepping out and stepping forth and coming from behind the scenes. These are the types of alignments that you want, where people see something in you that you may not be aware of, and they pull it out of you and help you to be your best. That's the type of alignment. Not people who are so afraid that you might move ahead of them that they try to stifle you. You don't want that. And some leaders do that. If they think that they see a certain anointing upon you, they become threatened that, oh, you're going to be more prominent than me. That's not what a God-ordained alignment looks like. But not only are you learning from individuals, but you are teaching. So you want to be aligned this way with individuals that you will learn from, but aligned this way with individuals that you can teach, that you can pour into. And that's one of the things that I learned from Pastor Verna. And the first thing that happened when Pastor Paul assigned me to step in to be over the prayer ministry, which those seeds were sown through Maybelle. I remember one Sunday she came up to me. She says, oh, you're an intercessor. She says, oh, you will be good to lead in at the house. I'm going to talk to Pastor Paul about you. And then I don't know if she talked to him or not. I just didn't say anything, because really I did not want to. I don't mind leading projects and stuff. I don't like leading people. I am sorry. I just can say that. Put it out there now. I just don't. But the first thing God had me to do was connect with Elizabeth. I went into the prayer room. I met her. You want to belong? You want to meet friends? I don't care if you think this is a shameless plug for prayer and pre-service prayer, but a lot of people that I met and came into relationships with, and I know I'm belonging and I don't feel left out, is in that prayer room. Come to prayer. You'll make friends. So I went into the prayer room, I met her, and God said, I want you to connect with her. And we didn't even know what it was going to look like. But September 2024, this is where we're at. When September 2024 comes, it would have been 5 years. Grace to do this. Even when our flesh, like Jeremy was saying, he didn't feel like, I hear you, Jeremy. We go through that, me and Elizabeth. Sometimes. Be aware of the current season you're in. We need to be aware of what season we're in and whether our alignments are appropriate for the season and the time that we're in. There are times when God will have to realign you in order to ensure that you complete the assignment he has called you to. The assignment for me, the call, is prayer and intercession. But there's also a teaching gift that has been developing in me. And God had to realign me from where I was, and twice, but from the places that he sent me. But he kept me aligned with Pastor Verna, because her assignment was to help me to get to the place of producing that which was in me. Her assignment was to correct, to teach, to instruct, to direct, to encourage, to support. And my assignment was to submit, to honor, to respond, and to act upon what she was teaching and instructing and directing. Seek God for clarity regarding alignments with individuals that need to be removed from your life and the new assignments that you need to make. There's sometimes when you're on the train of life, there are times when you got to get off or somebody has to get off. This is the time when you need to know about the alignments. Who needs to go? And who Do you, what new alignments? If you're at a certain level, there might be new people that you, that God wants you to be aligned with in order to carry forth to fruition that what he's calling you to. We have to choose to be aligned. We will have to choose who we allow. You choose who you allow to be aligned with you. People that they just see you and they're just like, you know, they want to be aligned with you because they think that, I don't know what they think. But for me personally, I'll tell you, if you knew me several years ago, you would not even want to be aligned with me. I was just a mess, a whiner, a crier, you name it. I was not this fiery person that you all see. It was a lot of battling. And if I say to people who align with me, you can't be a whiner and you will not be weak. You will war, because I was built for war. And if you align with me, that's what you're going to have to do. Be careful who you allow in to align, though. The Gibeonites deceived Joshua. They didn't even seek God. And the next thing you know, they were aligning with a people that did not have God's seal of approval. And because of the covenant and everything, they had to keep that alignment. God wants us right now to be prepared for what he's bringing us into as we are crossing over the bridge. We heard today is the 30th. Tomorrow is the 1st. And so today is the day that we need to begin to assess. We're not crossing over just to hang around and just do nothing. The enemy loves to get us in a religious rut where we go through the motions of church. We become churchgoers, where we're no threat to him. We're not having any impact on anyone in the house or outside of the house. We're powerless. There's no fruit. There's no productivity. That's what the enemy wants. If he can't stop us from being saved, then that's the next best thing. If you are in this house and you know that God has sent you here, then you belong and you have been aligned. What are you doing? How many are of you in here are serving? How many of you are standing at the door to greet individuals? Or looking to see who you can help. Oh, can I make the coffee? Can I do this? Can I do that? How many are coming in every Sunday and sitting and hearing the word, but yet not doing anything in the house? If you're aligned, you're in a family. I'm certain, like at my house, everybody has to do something because they belong. That's where they are. And not only in the house, but outside, we're representing in here. We're representing God. We're aligned to this house. And so what are we doing also outside? So our crossing over, we need to know that our crossing over is onto something. It's into new places and assignments that will require us to be appropriately aligned in order to complete the assignments. This is serious. We don't want to step into the next half of the year and then step into the new year hanging out there, not in alignment at all, not knowing where we're going and who we're aligned with in order to complete the assignment. You don't want to just be doing things willy-nilly, like just doing stuff and not really processing what you're doing. Going through these motions. And so today is the day on June 30th for us to really begin right now. I'm not going to call the ministry team. We already, sickness is the most important thing to prayer. I mean, you know, other things are important too. But, you know, if you're sick, if the enemy is attacking your body, then that erodes your ability to do a whole lot. So we've prayed this morning concerning sickness. If there's something else that you need prayer for, you can just email me or you can come next Sunday. But what I want is for us right now, seriously, to sit still before God and ask God to show you where you are out of alignment. God, where am I out of alignment? What alignments right now that I have made that are not your seal of approval. Where do I need to be aligned? Who do I need to be aligned with? And then how can I best represent and serve you and so serve those that I'm aligned with? These are questions that we need to ask. We need to process so that when we are stepping into the next half of the year and preparing for the next year, that we know that we're on point, that we are moving in that direction where God wants us to move. And so I'm just going to close with a prayer. So Father, we just thank you right now. God, we just don't want to be dismissive of what you're saying to us. You said that we should give the most earnest heed to the things we hear, least at any time we let them slip. Father, we don't want to be out of alignment. We don't want to be in a place of rebellion, a place of disobedience. God, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want, Lord, to fall into the trap of deception, Father. We don't want to be pulled away by the enemy of enticement, enticing us to go and align with individuals that we had no business to be aligned with. God, we don't want to be in a place, God, where the enemy diverts us from purpose and destiny, and we fall into the traps that he set for us. And so today, Father, we are asking that you would reveal your plan and your purpose, that you would cause us to hear your voice. I pray right now for those who are out of alignment and the enemy has deceived them into thinking that they're in the right place and space. I pray in the name of Jesus that they would see truth, that you would sanctify them with the truth of your word, that you would cause them to hear your voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, and that they would submit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this alignment, God, and I ask that you would strengthen the family, the Bridge family, strengthen our alignments in this house, God. And then, God, we thank you for giving us the grace and the courage and the boldness to step into the new. Let us be prepared. Let us be ready. Let us be willing. Let us not be stubborn and rebellious. Now, let's not be like the horse running ahead of you or the mule that lack understanding. But let us be like the sheep, submitted to the shepherd that goes where the shepherd lead, knowing that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness, knowing that you would lead us in still by still waters in the place of peace, knowing, God, that you would lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, but yet protect us from the death that the enemy would try to bring. Thank you, God. Pierce our hearts today. Let this not be a word that people just get enticed and excited by, but God, let it be a word that impacts and transforms us today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at The Bridge. For more information about The Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.